or we don't know how to handle a COVID virus, and that our systems are going to be overloaded. God is in control. He is in control. He knows what's going on. This is not new to him. We need to rest. We don't need to be anxious about anything. God will take us through this time if we rest and rest on him. I can't think of the number of times that Sue and I have gone through times when we've wondered whether we could make the next payment or something. I remember one time we were just dead broke. I was going through seminary, and they don't pay you a whole lot in seminary. But we're sitting there, we needed some money, and all of a sudden, a $100 bill blows down the street. I swear to you. And then another one. And our son hops out of the car and he's picking them up. And what was there, $300? It was like $300. God just kind of tumbled it down the street. We go up and we're looking up and down the street, and there's nobody around. There is no place where it could have come from. But God provided. Now, he may not provide for you that way, but God provides. God provides. We do not need to be anxious. Our God is not leaving us here to suffer without a plan. He will take care of us. We need to rely on him. We need to trust in him. The next passage I want you to turn to is out of the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. We're going to look at verses 3 through 9. This is the second thing we need to think about today as we're addressing this issue. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you hear what they just said? We have been born again to a new life, a living hope. And there is treasure waiting for us in heaven. We have hope for the now, but we have hope for the future. The people running around have no hope now, and they have no hope of a future. They are so lost, they don't know what to do. We have an answer. We have Jesus Christ. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Hold it, did you hear that? Grieved by various trials. I don't know, maybe it's COVID-19 or maybe it's COVID-18. I don't know. But there are trials. But we have been told that we already have a living hope. And listen to what it says, goes on. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God uses these times to temper us, to strengthen our faith. He puts the heat on us like the gold, and we get the impurities pulled off, and our faith becomes stronger because we cling to Christ. And he brings us through to the other side, and there we can rejoice in Christ Jesus. Rejoice. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, salvation of your souls. The salvation of your souls. We have a road ahead of us. We've all been put on this journey. And the journey is not going to be an easy one. It's not ever said that it's been filled with rose petals and everything is sweet. We've been told that it's going to be a trial. But God does it for a reason, because he wants to strengthen us. He wants to test our faith. He wants us to grow in our faith. He wants us to come to rely upon him. And he can't do that when he's just walking us upon the mountaintops. Sometimes he has to take us through the valley. Because when in the valley we realize that we can't do it on our own, then we turn to God. We have a hope. We have a hope. Those outside do not have a hope. We need to keep our doors open so the people can come here and they can find out about what we hope in. In the book of Esther, Mordecai is talking to his niece. And he talks to her and he says in Esther 4:14, he says, "Who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" God doesn't do things by happenstance. He has a plan. And he had Esther there for a reason. He has the church here today for a reason. And by the church, I don't just mean this building. I mean you and I. We are the church, the people. It is not a building. It is the people that make up a church. Vic was in here today and he was talking about something. It's always interesting when you find your mind doing these things where they come together. And Vic was talking about how the church grew through the periods of trial. One of the things I was looking at was a story written by a man by the name of Lyman Stone. It's on foreign policy. And it's called "Christianity Has Been Handling Epidemics for 2,000 years. 2,000 years. You know, we forget how good our health system is today. How we can go and we can get a shot and it takes care of this and it takes care of that. But when the early days, back in the early days of the church, they didn't have any of that medicine. You got sick, you died. The Antoine Plague in the second century killed off roughly a quarter of the population of the Roman Empire. We're not talking about anything like that with this COVID-19. The pagan emperor Julian was watching the church respond to the plague. Because they would do this. They would stay in the towns when the plague hit. See, when the plague hit, it would usually manifest itself first in the cities. And people would flee the cities. They would head out to the countryside to get away from the plague. They didn't care who they left behind. That was somebody else's problem. The Christian church stayed behind. They stayed behind to care for those who could not be cared for. The Emperor Julian, I told you, he was a pagan. He watched it and he said this. He was so bitter because the Christians weren't just caring for their own brothers and sisters, they were caring for non-believers too. Amazing. Amazing. Vic was pointing out the Reformation and talking about the Reformation and how the Reformation kind of came on the heels of the bubonic plague. In 1527, the bubonic plague swept through Europe. And people were again fleeing the country, fleeing the cities and going into the country. They came to Martin Luther, and they told him to leave, to pack up and get out of town, to go where it is safe. Martin Luther stayed right there, and he paid a price. He lost his daughter to the bubonic plague. But he saw his calling to be there, to minister to other people, to pick up his cross and go. He wrote a tract. It's called "Whether a Christian Should Flee the Plague." The early church believed it was necessary for them as the witnesses to Christ and his teaching that they would stay and minister no matter the cost. No matter the cost. Turn me, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. We were already in Luke, but go back to Luke chapter 6. This is what drove the early church, and we need it to drive us. Luke chapter 6, verses 26 through 36. Are you all there? Good. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, so do to others. Do to others as we would want others to do to us. That's a driving important principle. We wouldn't want to be left behind. You wouldn't want everybody to drive out of town and say, well, you know, I don't care about them because they're them. We would want people to be able to stay there and care. Listen to what it goes on. If you love those who love you, what benefit is it to you? Is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those who from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies. Do good, lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. He be merciful, even as He is merciful. We don't build up our treasure here. Our treasure is up there. We're not called to do this because we're building up a big bank vault upstairs. We're called to do this because this is what our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to do, to care for others. That's why we need to stay open as a church, because we need to be here to care for others. We need to be a place where they can come and they can hear the gospel preached, and they can put their faith and their hope in something besides the world and the medical system and any political system, but in Jesus Christ, the only place where hope can be found. We need to look around us, especially now. How can we serve our community? What can we do? Is there a way that we can reach out to those who are maybe medically challenged and cannot get out? Kevin sent me a note the other day, and he was talking about this thing that he has seen where a woman was walking into Walmart. And as she was walking into Walmart, she heard somebody call out, "Excuse me, miss, miss." And she finally stopped and she turned around, and there was an old couple sitting in a car. They were sitting in a car because they were afraid to go in. Because of their age, they were in the higher risk factor. They had medical conditions and they were afraid to go into Walmart. They asked this woman, "Would you go in and get us some groceries?" And they gave her money to do it. And she walked in and she bought them groceries. I don't know. Do we need to go sit in Walmart and find a place where we can go and do that for somebody? I don't know, but there are people in our congregation and there are people that we know that need us to be beside them. We cannot close the doors and let them sit by themselves in the darkness. Let me give you some words of personal responsibility. From what we know, I never thought I'd be a virologist and study so much medical terminology in that. What we do know from what we read in on the COVID is that it has spread. But the people that are most at risk are those that are 60 and older. So here's what we would ask. If you wake up and you're feeling a little bit under weather, don't care what age you are, use common concern and discernment. Because you may be carrying the COVID. 80% of those with COVID will be asymptomatic. They will not show sickness issues. They will not get really ill. But you may give it to somebody that is. So if you're feeling bad, stay home. If you need to have the pastor or an elder come and visit you, call us. We'll come and visit you. If you're an older individual and you're concerned because you have medical conditions and issues, please don't feel that you have to come here and put yourself at risk. We will come and extend our visitations to you too and let you know that you can be there and we'll watch over you. That's part of tending the flock. We're going to make some changes, we already did, but we're going to stay open because the church is a beacon of hope. There's a lot of people out there that have no hope. We need for them to see this church, see its doors open, and know that we offer something to them, and that is hope through Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, the hard part is this. It's easy to hear it in a sermon. The hard part comes when we walk through that door, and we have to challenge ourselves to put it into practice. How do we do it? I leave that to you. If you have some ideas that you want to share with me, I'll gladly listen to them and I'll encourage you. And even if we think they maybe are something we can do with the church, we'll move it forward. The elders and I stand together for this church, watching over you and tending you. I would ask that you'd continue to pray for those men, that they would have wisdom, they would have strength, they would have courage. We need it during this time. But folks, this is the time that the church has been called to. This is the time when we really need to be the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, let's get the worship team up there.